Yeah. That was definitely the Holy Spirit.
Everybody
brought their Bible. Nice.
We all put our Bible.
Wow, I love it. We know where your hearts are. 2:31, folks. First, third, and fourth. We'll stand for our final hymn prior to the message tonight. And great, great testimonies. You know, the Bible says there's power in your testimony. They overcome him, the devil, by the word of their testimony. I love that. The devil hates testimonies concerning the glory of God. It glorifies him and it encourages each other. That if the Lord did that for them, he'll do it for me. And he will. All right. 231. I'll get there one of these days. 231 and 1st, 3rd, and 4th. Oh, yes, indeed, we need them.
Amen.
Every hour. I change the words every minute. Every second. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can be afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Endure your pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. That's right. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Most holy. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. Be seated, church. Oh, I'm so glad you're singing from the heart. So many of the hymns are prayers. They're actually prayer songs. And it's just amazing that when we sing them and we mean it from the heart, because worship is from the heart, the Lord actually answers those song prayers. Oh, well, praise the Lord, folks, as we come to the Word tonight. Open up to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. We're going to continue our series on the eight mysteries of the New Testament, of course. Tonight is part 14. And we're still on mystery number 7. So, and we'll be a few more weeks on mystery number 7 because of the great detail involved in it, in its revelation. But go with me to chapter 11 first, before we get back to chapter 9. We'll pick up where we left off last week. In chapter 11, look with me at verse 25, our seventh mystery of the New Testament. 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant, that's unknowing, of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. This is the seventh mystery. The temporal hardening of the elect nation Israel. Most Jews today are not saved. Most Jews today reject your Savior. You got to understand that. God's not happy with them today because they have what we call a national hardening toward the Savior. But on the other hand, we must realize there are many saved Jews. You know, Dr. Joel Rosenberg, Dr. Arnold Fruchtenbaum. I mean, you think about it, there are many saved Jews that indeed love the Lord. There's always been a remnant of true believers in Israel, and there always will be. Okay? Now, tonight, go with me to Revelation chapter 9 concerning this mystery, which is the mystery of Israel's hardening. As we continue tonight looking at our seventh mystery, last time we saw Paul's burden and broken heart over Israel's rejection of Messiah, even despite her divine privileges. Remember, we saw 9 divine privileges that were given to the nation Israel. Yet, they dropped the ball. Yet, they failed to recognize their own Messiah when he came 2,000 years ago. And here in chapter 9, Paul is continuing his dissertation regarding the national hardening of the elect nation Israel. First of all tonight, observe Paul's revelation of 2 Israels in verse number 6. We'll pick it up in verse 6. Paul writes, "Not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel." Wow, what a verse. Now, observe here Paul's revelation of the 2 Israels. Clearly, the apostle is making a divine revelation to the church here in verse 6. That is, that in God's eyes, people, there are 2 specific entities called Israel. And they both are Israel, but they're not the same. Let me explain. There is the true Israel, okay? The true Israel is called the Israel of God. Secondly, there is the false Israel. That is, those who are of Israel, but not of the Israel of God. I'm going to explain. You will understand this when we get through tonight. The same is still true today, 2,000 years later. Now, first of all, let's examine the Israel, which is the true Israel. Look at verse number 6. He's going to show you specifically there are 2 Israels. Verse 6, "Not as though the word of God had taken none effect. For they are not all Israel," that's the Israel of God, "which are of Israel," that's the elect nation. Okay? Now, first of all, I want us to look at the true Israel. Paul is making a critical distinction here, which, if not understood properly, will cause the whole Bible to not make sense. Listen to me. This misunderstanding concerning the 2 Israels is the foundational cause of all replacement theology. That's why there's a bunch of theologians today that think that they are Israel when they're not Jewish. And they misunderstand the scriptures because the 2 Israels are not the church, either one of them. Okay? We're going to see that. So the true Israel is comprised, listen, the true Israel is comprised of all Jews, ethnic Jews, who believe in and receive Messiah as their personal Savior from sin through spiritual regeneration. They're born again just like you and me, but they're Jewish born again Christians. Okay? That's who the true Israel is. Now, let me give an example. There's a great preacher named Jonathan Kahn. I love that guy. He is full-blooded Jewish, and he's fully born again. He's of the Israel of God. He's of the true Israel. But not all Jews are of the true Israel, though they are all of Israel. We're going to see that in a minute here. Go to Galatians chapter 6. In Galatians, just after Corinthians, look with me at chapter 6 of Galatians. I'm going to show you something here that I know you've been taught wrong. I guarantee you, most of you have been taught wrong. Verse 15, Paul writes, "By the Holy Spirit, for in Christ Jesus," time out, church, who are those who are in Christ Jesus? What are they? What are they called?
Christian.
Born again, regenerated Christian, true believers, right? "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Every soul who is positioned in Christ Jesus by new birth is a new creation of God. Okay? 16. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the what?
Israel.
Wait a minute. Paul just added words for no reason. No, he didn't. The Holy Spirit had him add those three words. He says, and upon the Israel of God. Now, here what we see is something very interesting. Paul distinguishes between saved Gentiles and saved Jews, even though they're both of the church. A Jew who is saved, listen to me, a Jew who is saved is what we call a complete Jew. They're Jewish ethnically, and they're born again Christian. They're a complete Jew because they have received Messiah like you have. And they are born again. They are, now listen, they're part of two entities. I don't want to confuse you. They are part of two entities. They are part of the Israel of God, which is a saved Jew. And they are part of the church, which is made up of all Jews and Gentiles who are born again. Okay? A complete Jew is a member of both of those entities. Okay. Now, look here in verse 16. He says, as many as walk according to this rule, he's talking about the church, peace be on them and mercy. Then he adds a little conjunctive particle, and. See that? And upon. He's distinguishing what he's about to say from what he just said previously in the same verse. He says, I'm talking about two entities. I'm talking about the church, and I'm talking about the Israel of God. He's not talking about every Jew in verse 16. He's only talking about saved Jews. So he terms them, he labels them the Israel of God. So if Paul says there is an Israel of God, by deduction, we clearly see that there must be an Israel which is not of God. Hello? There's an Israel of God, and there's an Israel that is not of God, even though they're Israel. Follow me, church. You're going to see this. Now, listen carefully. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 16, Paul makes this distinction by one little word, and. Now, go to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Let's see it again, how Paul distinguishes Jews who are saved from Gentiles who are saved. Okay? Listen to me. If you are... my wife is Spanish, okay? Let me use my wife as an example. If you're Spanish and you're not saved, and then you get saved, you become a Spanish Christian. You don't stop being Spanish, okay? A Jew who gets saved does not stop being ethnically Jewish. To be Jewish is not a religion. You're thinking of Judaism. That's a religion. To be Jewish is an ethnicity. You've got Chinese people. You've got white people. You've got Indian people. These are ethnicities. And when one gets saved, they retain their physical ethnicity, though they become a member of the body of Christ. Look here. In Romans chapter 2, look with me at verse 17. Now, the whole chapter, number 2, deals with Jews, not Gentiles. You got to get that straight. The whole chapter 1 deals with Gentiles, not Jews. Okay? What Paul is doing, he's building a case to put the whole world, chapter 3, guilty before God, whether they're Jew or Gentile. Now look at me at verse 17. Behold, thou art called a what?
Jew.
A Jew. He's going to identify the Israel which is not of God, the false Israel. Watch. Thou art called a Jew. Now he's talking to a true Jew, ethnically speaking, a child of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And restest in the law, Moses, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law, thou therefore which teacheth another. Now, who's he talking to in verse 21? Gentiles or Jews?
Jews.
Jews, thank you. He is talking to unsaved Jews. Thou therefore that which teachest another, they're preaching Mosaic law, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest, a man should not steal. Dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery. Dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols. Dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, Moses, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God, he's going to quote from Isaiah 52 verse 5 in verse 24. For the name of God is blasphemed amongst the Gentiles through you. Who's the you of verse 24?
Jews.
Unsaved Jews. They're unsaved Jews, not saved Jews. Because saved Jews are going to glorify his name amongst the Gentiles. Like Paul, like Peter, like Matthew, all the James. Look at, for the name of God is blasphemed amongst the Gentiles by you, as it is written. For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. We've already seen no one can. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? Shall not he become a Jew? That's not what he's saying. That's what preachers want you to think. They want you to think he's saying they become Jewish by keeping the law of Moses. That's not what Paul is saying. He's not talking to Gentiles, he's talking to Jews. He's just using Gentiles as an example in verse 26. 27. And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by letter and circumcision transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, complete, which is one outwardly, ethnic. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, complete, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Now, beloved, you've got to see in this passage that Paul is not saying a Gentile can become a Jew. No more can I become Chinese. Hello? You can't change your ethnicity, but you can change your religion. He's saying these Jews in verse 27 have become part of the Israel of God. They have become complete Jews because they've received Messiah. Are you seeing it now? Glory to God. I used to think that myself. He was saying, oh, Gentile can be Jewish. No, he's not. And you've got to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal these truths to you. Now, in verse 29, he shows us clearly that all ethnic Jews who are born again are complete Jews and are corporately the Israel of God. So the Israel of God today is made up of who? Somebody. All Jews who
are saved.
That's right, who are saved. That's the Israel of God. Secondly, Paul identifies another entity called the false Israel. Go back to Romans chapter number 9. That's the true Israel, the Israel of God. Now look at verse 6 again. Notice though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. He just said that you can be Jewish and not belong to God. Let me ask you a question. Can you be a Gentile and not belong to God? Of course, the majority of Gentiles don't belong to him. See? So they are the non-church. The unsaved of this world. You are the church of the living God, the Bible says. See the difference? Some are of God. The other entity is not of God because they're not saved. Now, here we have the same thing in the Jewish race. Notice here that Paul is pointing us clearly to another Israel in verse 6. But that this Israel is clearly distinguished from the first Israel. Who are they? Notice in verse 6 that Paul says that they are of Israel, but that they are not of the true Israel, the Israel of God. Who are they? Look at verse 7. We'll see who they are. In verse 7, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children of God. Verse 8, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, physical Jews, these are not the children of God. You see what Paul just said? He said some Jews, they are the physical seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but they are not children of God. Why? That's right, they're not born again. See, there's two Israels. There's saved Israel, the Israel of God, and there's unsaved Israel. Those who are of Israel ethnically. It doesn't make them saved, being Jewish. There are preachers who teach a special redemption for Jews, which is nonsense. It's not in this Bible. It's not true. Jews today have to be born again, just like you do, to go to heaven. Okay? Now, here's another hint of who the false Israel is. They are the physical offspring of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who do not accept and receive Messiah as Savior from sin through spiritual regeneration. The false Israel, then, is comprised of all unsaved Jews. Look at verse 27. Verse 27 of chapter 9. Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. You know what he just did in verse 27? He just showed you the two Israels. And he showed you that only a minority of them are truly saved. The majority of the Jews, like the majority of the Gentiles, are unsaved today. Now there's coming a day when they'll all get saved. That is, all who are alive at the end of the tribulation period. All right, now, enough said about that. Secondly tonight, back in Romans 9, observe the two illustrations that Paul uses in verses 7 through 13 to prove his declaration that there are two Israels in God's eyes. He's going to give you two graphic illustrations to prove his point. Okay? Now first, look at verse 7. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children of God. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. Not Hagar. Abraham had two sons. What were their names?
Ishmael.
That's right. That's right. Ishmael and Isaac. Ishmael was not of God. Neither is Ishmael today of God. Boy, oh boy, 37 times in their unholy book, the Quran, it says to kill the unbelievers. I'm glad we're not commanded to do that, amen? We love them, we pray for them, we witness to them. Now, who was Isaac's brother? Ishmael. But just because Ishmael was a physical son of Abraham, it did not make him a child of God. Question, how was Isaac born? How was Isaac born? Was it natural? Or was it a miracle?
Spiritual.
Sarah was 90 years old. I've never seen a 90-year-old give birth. It was a miracle. God gave her conception from her husband Abraham. Amen? When she was 90 and he was 99. Now, secondly, look at verse 10. There's another illustration used. In verse 10. So here we see in verses 7 through 9 that Isaac was not only Jewish, but he was a child of God, of the Israel of God. Ishmael was half Jewish and half Egyptian from Hagar, but he was not a child of God. Illustration 10. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. Time out, church. What is the normal Jewish tradition for boys? The younger always... Right, the birthright goes to the younger or the elder?
Elder.
Goes to the elder, always. But God has reversed it here in this case. Why? Look at it. It was said unto her, Rebekah, that the elder, the firstborn, would serve the younger. That Esau would serve Jacob. Why? Verse 13, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now, notice here that both Esau and Jacob were born to Isaac and Rebekah, but that Jewish birth did not make them both children of God. Esau went off and founded Mount Seir down in Edom, you know, where the Jordanians and the Palestinians came from. That's what Esau did. He wasn't no child of God, but Jacob was. But they were both sons of Isaac. They were both 100%. Ishmael was half Jewish. Esau was full-blooded Jew, but he wasn't saved. He's making a graphic illustration here that just because you're Jewish does not make you part of the Israel of God. Here are the two Israels, graphically revealed. Both Jewish, but not both of God. Go to Galatians chapter 4. Hold your place. We're coming right back. In Galatians chapter 4, look with me at verse 22. Verse 22 we read, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman, Hagar, Sarah. But he who was of the bondwoman, Ishmael, was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise, which things are an allegory. For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar, Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. You're either born of the flesh or you're born from above. Notice that in verse 26, born from above, the Jerusalem which is above is the mother of us all. That means you had a spiritual birth. That's what makes you a child of God, not the physical birth, Ishmael. All right, thirdly tonight, back to Romans 9. Notice four distinct revelations from these two illustrations, and I'll be done. First, notice that even though Israel, as a whole, has failed, yet God's word has not failed. Romans 9, look at verse 6. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect. You see that? God says, my word has not failed. Even though Israel as a whole has failed, my word has not failed. Look at verse 6. For they are not all Israel which are of Israel. He says there is a segment, a remnant of true believing Jews from Israel that love me and receive my son. Amen. And are born again. My word hasn't failed. It's all part of his plan. Amen. The first lesson we see here is that God's word never fails. Secondly, no. Oh, go to chapter 3, by the way. Romans chapter 3. Speaking of God's word not failing. In Romans 3, what advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the what?
Oracles.
What are the oracles of God? What are they? What are the oracles of God?
Law.
Yeah, it included the law. It's his word. An oracle is something that comes out that you speak, right? To the Jews were committed the words of God. No other nation, we saw last week in Psalm 142, no other nation on earth ever had such a privilege divine of receiving the word of God, but Israel did. Look at it. Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Believe what? The oracles of God from verse 2. You see that? What if some did not believe the word of God? Let me ask you a question. What if someone you witness to today does not believe the gospel you give them? Does it make the word of God of none effect?
No.
Look at it. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Sometimes the word of God is called the faith of God. God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged, O Lord. God's word never fails. Whether a human being receives it and believes it or rejects it and hates it, God's word never fails. It will either be used at the judgment for rewards or it will be used for punishment purposes. God's word never fails. Keep that thought in mind. Secondly tonight, another distinct revelation we have, secondly, is that spiritual blessings do not come on the basis of physical descent or personal merit, but only to those physical descendants who believe on Messiah and are spiritual children of Abraham. Look in chapter 10 of Romans. I said spiritual blessings do not come because of physical descent. They come because of spiritual birth. Look at it. In chapter 10, look with me at verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Now, which Israel is Paul speaking of in verse 1? The true Israel or the false?
The false.
The false. Because the true Israel, of which he was a part, are already saved. You see that? So he's praying for the false Israel to get saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? He's going to quote you Deuteronomy 30, verse 14. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, Israel. Look at it. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, it's a gift. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation from sin. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Paul is making a distinction here. He's saying for Israel, those Jews who choose to believe on Messiah, confess him, and receive him, they will not be ashamed, verse 11, to bear his name before the other Jews. Paul was never ashamed to preach Jesus Christ in the synagogue. Amen? And he says you're either of the Israel of God who believe and receive Jesus Christ as your Messiah, or you're the false Israel who are unsaved. And he says, how do you become part of the true Israel? By believing. By believing. That's it. So simple, yet so profound. Now, there's a third spiritual lesson here that we find, a third revelation, and that is that spiritual blessings come only through the will of God and not by or through the will of man. Look at verse 11. Spiritual blessings do not come through the will of man, but through the will of God. Look at verse 11. For the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. Now, notice here in verse 11 and 12 that clearly it was God's will for Jacob to carry the Abrahamic covenant. You see that? It was God's will for Isaac, not Ishmael, to carry the Abrahamic blessing of the covenant. So, you see, it's according to God's will, not man's. It didn't matter what Ishmael said. It didn't matter what Esau said. It didn't matter what Rachel said. When she wanted, remember when Rachel, she favored Esau. Remember that? And we see here clearly that it's God's will prevail, not the will of man. Why? Why am I saying that? It's because spiritual blessings, listen to me, spiritual blessings do not come by the will of man. They only come by the will of God. So, if you want spiritual blessings, you all want spiritual blessings, you've got to be in the will of God. You've got to be in the will of God. You can't, these people, this dominion theology out of Texas by Copeland and these guys, John Bevere and, oh my goodness, Creflo Dollar. It's ridiculous. Name and claim. I want a $68 million Learjet, and I'm going to get it. Give me your money. Name it and claim it. That's called dominion theology. It's unbiblical. Because if it's not God's will, you have no business claiming it. You see that? You've got to be according to the will of God. Go to John chapter 1. The Gospel of John chapter 1. Look with me quickly, we're almost done. Verse 10. Speaking of Messiah. Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God.
Amen.
Did you see it? They were born again by the will of God, not by their own will. The only thing they did is they said, I believe. And the Lord says, boom, I'm making you a child of God. According to the will of God. You see that? It's according to His will that all things are done and not the will of man. Fourthly, there's another incredible revelation given us here. That is that physical descent alone cannot obtain these promises. But physical descent and its spiritual appropriation will obtain them. All this clearly implies that one must be both physically and spiritually Jewish in order to be a member of the true Israel, the Israel of God. Go to chapter 11 in closing. In chapter 11 of Romans, look at verse 1. We'll see it clearly here. I say then, question, hath God cast away his people, Israel? God forbid, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they killed thy prophets and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time, beloved, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Here it is, the conclusion. Israel, that's false Israel, unsaved, hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election. Time out, church. In verse 7, let me ask you a question. Who is the election? Is that Gentiles? Yes, that's right. You all got it. You're good. That's Jewish believers. Look at it. Israel, as a whole, hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election. That's the Israel of God. The remnant of Jewish believers of Messiah have obtained it. And here's how we know it's Jews. And the rest of what? The rest of the Jews were what?
Blinded.
Blinded. Here's what we're studying in this seventh mystery. The blindness and hardness of Israel. It's the seventh mystery of the New Testament. In conclusion, Paul here is not saying that Gentiles or the church have replaced Israel, but rather he is saying that the remnant of Israel has obtained these divine promises while the rest of Israel has not, and they're hardened. We'll pick up this same theme next week in chapter 9, verse 14, as we continue examining our seventh mystery of the New Testament. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for these incredible verses. And Lord, these are deep doctrinal truths we're studying. And Lord, no man knows it all. Only you know it all, Lord. But we're so thankful that we have your paraclete, your Holy Spirit, our personal instructor, teaching us out of thy law, showing us wondrous things, Lord. Incredible truths, deep things of God. Lord, we're so thankful for 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And the spiritual man compared spiritual things with spiritual. Lord, we're so thankful for the understanding and insight you're giving us into the scriptures. These last days, Lord, the Bible is opening up the scriptures like never before. We're seeing things we've never seen. And it's because the coming of the Lord draws nigh. And tonight, Lord, our hearts go out for Israel. And Lord, I heard this week from our church secretary that tomorrow, the president will go to the United Nations in New York, the assembly, and seek to create a vote to support the New Deal with Iran. In which case, if he gets all of the nations to agree with his deal, the Congress will have no authority to veto it. Lord, tonight, we're going to pray. We're going to pray for Israel. Lord, we thank you that she's still the elect nation, though she's in unbelief tonight. We thank you that at the end of the tribulation period, she will come to her knees and she will repent and she will receive Jesus Christ just like we have. We thank you for that, Lord. But in the meantime, oh God, the nations of the world are coming against your elect nation in a way like we've never seen before. They're lining up as enemies. And tonight, the official policy of America is that we're on the enemy side of Israel. How sad, Lord. Our hearts are breaking as your people tonight because we love Israel. We love the Jewish people. Our Savior was Jewish. Lord, we pray tonight for a special divine hedge of protection round about Israel. Lord, that you would surround her with holy elect angels to protect her against the missiles of Iran and Hamas and Hezbollah and the Egyptian Brotherhood and all the enemies of Israel, Lord, and even Russia, that you would protect her, Lord, in these last days. Because we know, Lord, that it's the Holy Land because of the Holy King who will sit upon the throne of David in Jerusalem. We thank you for that tonight, Lord. And we thank you for hearing our prayer as a church family that you would strengthen the hedge round about Israel. We ask you to strengthen Bibi, Benjamin Netanyahu, the president, the prime minister of Israel, that you would strengthen his hands tonight. Give him peace. Give him confidence. Give him security. Let him know that the God of Israel is still in control. We thank you for that tonight, Lord, and we pray your richest blessings upon them, that they would come nationally to receive Jesus Christ, Messiah, as we have. And we thank you, Lord, that the teachings are so today. It's right up to date, Lord, because Israel is about to go into a tribulation period, we know. We pray, Lord God, for your peace and protection upon her. Your word commands us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we know that when the Prince of Peace comes back, there will finally be worldwide peace. Not only in Jerusalem, but all over this planet. We thank you for it. In Jesus Christ's name, the people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's grab our hymnals, folks. In closing, we will sing one. Oh, 130. Oh, yeah. Almost overlooked this one. 130, one of our absolute all-time favorite hymns right here. There is power. Where? Yeah, that's right, Doris. In the blood there is power. Oh, I'm so thankful for that.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil or victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood.
Yes, there is!
There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood. Whiter, much whiter than snow. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood.
Yes, there is!
There is power, wonder working power in the blood. There is power, wonder working power in the blood. For Jesus your King.
Yes,
there's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Singing church. What a wonderful day the Lord's given us today. I just thank him so much for you all. Such a blessing to have the privilege to worship the King with you. And if you missed this morning, definitely want to listen online this week. This morning's message, Our Great King. Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he awesome?
Amen.
Yes, indeed. Folks, we have food if you're hungry. We have food in the kitchen, so don't run out if you're not in a rush. And we'd ask Brother Kyle to dismiss us in prayer tonight. And don't forget, Wednesday night we'll be here at 7 o'clock for Bible study and prayer meeting. And I've got a case I got yesterday in the mail, about yay big, 2,500 brand new gospel tracts hot off the press. Anybody interested in stamping? A stamping track ministry. Think about it. Let me know Wednesday. Kyle?
Lord, we thank you that we thank you, Lord, that we can always come to you, that you're always there for us, no matter what our state in our daily life, you're always there as our guide, Lord, to watch over us and to lead us in the path you have us to be in. We thank you for your word, Lord, that we know that no matter what's going on in this world, your word is always the truth and it's correct and the guide we need to follow. We ask you, Lord, to watch over us, to guide Israel, your elect nation, Lord, and just to guide the hearts and minds of our politicians in the country, that they'll do what's right when it comes to this foolishness with our land. We just pray, Lord, you'd be there to order them to do what they need to do and to get correct. And we ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.